is your Captain Joe. Up in the captain's chair, and it is 20:30. One bell of the evening watch, and I am broadcasting to you live, unscripted and unrehearsed, and believe me, truly unrehearsed, from London. And as is my custom, I do this from wherever I am in the world, and as is your custom, you listen to me in whatever time zone you happen to be. So last week, from the captain's chair, first of all, I am in a makeshift captain's chair. I'm sitting at a counter in a VRBO house that we have rented and has served us splendidly as our headquarters for our time together. And I'm here with my son, Sean, and his lovely and indomitable wife, Barb. And if they will come on with me, I will hand the phone over to them in a few minutes. But we always have a little bit of beginning of the program housekeeping to talk about. So greetings, as always, to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world, even unto Singapore, even though I have Sean and Barb with me here, and they no longer live in Singapore, but also to the Kingdom of Sweden, of which Stockholm is the capital, and to Captain Joe's people all over the world. Ships and aircraft all about their father's business, rescuing the hapless mariner. I need to talk with some degree, a great degree of sadness about the binnacle list again. So this week, not only is my friend who is engineering for me tonight, it is tonight here, if you are on the magical Isle of Vashon, it is 12:30. And I am broadcasting, of course, as always, on Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band and streaming live all over the world on voiceofvashon.org. So getting that little bit of FCC business out of the way. So the binnacle list, first of all, we have to report that although Captain O'Brien reports that he's doing better, I'm not completely convinced, and I hope that his report, which I'm not able to see him, normally I am able to see him when my broadcast follows his with himself and the counselor, to that I follow him. And therefore, I can see how easily he springbutts up out of what then becomes the captain's chair. I can't see him tonight because he is all those thousands of miles away. So I hope that he is not embellishing his good feeling. But on a more serious note, my brother-in-law, who is Mary R.'s oldest brother, the oldest of the six children, is on his last voyage, and it is a rough crossing, and I don't know how much longer he is going to live before he crosses his own bar. But for Brian and Brian's immediate family, and for all of Captain Joe's people who are on the binnacle list, follow the instructions of your medical practitioner. It is my wish and my hope and my command from the captain's chair that you will do that. And in Brian's case, that his crossing may be as easy as can possibly happen. I'm broadcasting from London, but I am not broadcasting from London in the same conditions as Edward R. Murrow. Edward R. Murrow of the Edward R. Murrow of School of Broadcasting at Washington State University in Pullman. That particular center is named for him. And he broadcast live during the London Blitz. And Shano and Barb and I have been surrounded by the evidence of the London Blitz, in the sense that most of the areas have now been completely rebuilt, and there are tall buildings everywhere. But during the time of the London Blitz in 1940, Edward R. Murrow would get up on the rooftops of wherever he was staying, probably from his hotel, and he would broadcast live, and he would describe what was going on in London at that time. One of the places that we went today was to St. Paul's Cathedral, and we got there right as they were getting ready to close, and so we did not get inside. But as you walk around the cathedral close, you can see the area that was so badly damaged. And Murrow described all of these things in great and very graphic detail. So during the time that we have together today, Sean and Barb and I are going to talk a little bit about some of the things that we've seen, some of the things that we have done together. And I'm going to move to what we did yesterday, and that was to take what became as much a pilgrimage as it became a introduction to people that I love so much to the place that Mary R. and I loved so much, and I continue to have as my particular intellectual home. So I'm going to hand the phone over to Sean, who is Mary's and my son, and ask him to deliver short but pithy remarks about his impressions about Cambridge and what we did there.
Thank you, Captain Jill. Thank you for coming into the show today. And I'm excited to share that was one of the more incredible experiences to be part of to go to Cambridge and see this very sacred place to us and our family with Captain Joe and my mom's home for 3 years, and the incredible work that Captain Joe and his legacy of work on the library that he made, helped construct there, and being able to see it in that place and actual being there was really amazing. So it was really incredible location and the beautiful campus and colleges, and I learned a lot, and it was inspired myself. So I'm just really glad to have been there in person with Captain Bill as a guide and my wife to be there with me.
So what we had done was to take the train from London. We had taken the train from London to Cambridge, and we had we've been using taxis, and we ended up with a wonderful taxi driver named Trevor, and Trevor drove us around to all of these really great places, and I was able to not only to get into the Scott Moore Research Institute, but also I was able to meet some of the staff and people that I did not know, but there were a couple of people that I did know from the past. And so we went to the house where Mary R. and I lived, and we had just a wonderful, wonderful time. So one of the things that's happened here is that I've been introduced to some new friends. And I am, as always, happy to meet new friends. And these are, in particular, friends of Sean and Barb's, who have traveled with before. And they are, like Sean and Barb, also graduates of the Bulldogs. They are Bulldogs with Gonzaga University. So the next thing that is going to happen right now is that I'm going to hand the telephone over to Barb, and I'm going to ask her to give her particular impressions of London and Cambridge and the things that we're doing together.
All righty. Hello, and thank you. I can say it's an incredible place to be, an incredible city, and the history at times can be overwhelming. And I couldn't be more grateful to be here and have had this experience. And I think it's a place that, everybody that comes here will always want to come back to. so much to do and see. And just grateful to be here with Captain Joe. It's really been lovely. Thank you.
So that is the wonderful contribution to the broadcast. And as I always like to have friends, and I am particularly privileged to have people who are not only family, but are also friends, which makes it easy to travel because you never know how traveling together is going to work out until you actually do it. So we had decided to try a VRBO. And so I went on to the VRBO. By the way, all of Captain Joe's people can go on to VRBO and can rent the houses out at Point Robinson. We are on both VRBO and whatever that other company is. So we decided to try that. And I went on to the VRBO site and went through, and there are lots of properties that you can rent in London. And I found one in a section of London called Camden Town. Now, I'm particularly fond of Camden Town personally because when I was working and building the Shackleton Memorial Library, the architect, and in English practice, the architect selects the prime contractor and has general oversight over the project. And the architect was a company and is a company called John Miller Partners. And John Miller had his office on one of the canals, which runs right through Camden Town. And so when I would come to London, I would get on the tubes, the underground, and would come to, from King's Cross, I would come to Camden Town, and that was where I had business here. And so I thought, well, this sounds like a pretty good place. And so I went ahead and booked it, and we have been staying in this little tiny short street just off of Camden Road. And a couple of things have happened while we were here. First of all, safety arrangements in this house leave something to be desired. They're very steep steps going up and down, and there are no rails. They do not comply with any of the safety requirements of Mother King, for example, who knows what is best for all of us. And so there are no rails, and these steps are pretty steep. And we figured out that if we don't hold on to whatever handhold we can find, and one of us slips coming down from the bedroom level down to the head level, and one of us slips and we go through, there's a window down at the bottom of one flight of stairs, then we would just go shooting out that window and land down on the ground floor, and it would be pretty messy, and we would probably have to forfeit our cleaning deposit. So that was one thing. And then as soon as we moved in, the one of the companies decided that it was time to lay a fiber optic cable. And so now this little tiny street, which is called Rousden Street, little short street in Camden Town, is now torn up with ditches where they are laying all of this cable. And I look down into these ditches, and I can see layer after layer after layer. And I believe that I can see all the way down to the Roman road level because, of course, London is a Roman city. And I think that I can look down there, and I think I can see the remnants of the Roman road. In any case, they now have our little street blocked off, which means that when we need to use a Uber or a taxi, that we have to be really careful as to where we tell this person, the driver, so that we can get to wherever it is that we want to go. So other than that, though, and the owner of this property has hidden vital commodities all over the place. And we were beginning to get a little bit, or I was beginning to get a little bit concerned as the toilet paper roll level started to drop. And I looked all over. I tore the place apart. But unfortunately, I did not tear apart the place where it really was. and that was over the shower. So for Captain O'Brien, the shower controls in this particular house, and this house is easily over 100, 150 years old, has a European-style shower. It has three layers of nozzles that I think you can, once you master the control system, you can get those nozzles to squirt water everywhere. And Sean, who became much more persistent in the search for vital commodities, found in a hidden gear locker, he found the store of toilet paper. So we've been able to replenish that. But basically, this has turned out to be a wonderful headquarters for us, and we, for the most part, have really enjoyed having the house. And so I have become, to some extent, a VRBO believer. But the other thing about which I've become almost a believer is the Uber system. And we have discovered that if you can keep your Andy phone from dropping the connection, that you can order a Uber and have it show up just about anywhere that you want to take you anywhere you want. And I think that it's relatively inexpensive. So the headquarters in London has worked out really well. I recommend the VRBO approach. I also recommend that you read the descriptions really carefully to make sure that what you are thinking you're getting is what you actually get. Much of London, of course, is very, very old, and many, many buildings in London are very, very old. And they've been overhauled and restored and refurbished many, many times over. So one of the things that happened was, God, what a terrible thing to have happen, that you lose your Wi-Fi connection. I could not figure out how to get it back on. And and the refrigerator and the freezer also went down. And so I ended up going into the circuit breaker box, which is a Victorian vintage, and getting all of these things back up. So anyway, VRBO, if you want to come to London and you're willing to learn the underground or the tube system, I think it's a wonderful way to get around. Whenever I move into a city that I'm not familiar with, the first thing that I do is master the metropolitan transportation system. And because I've lived here, I'm, even as they keep on adding new lines and stations to the London Underground tube system, I'm very familiar with it, and we can we can easily get around on that. And of course, there are tube stations everywhere, so you get a tube map. That's a tricky thing these days, because nobody wants to print paper maps, just like nobody wants to print paper charts, paper nautical charts. So Sean, again, ever resourceful, Sean and Barb found one. The type on it is so small that I can just barely read it. I have to use a special pair of glasses. But we still have big signs down in the tube that say, mind the gap. So that's how you get around London. A couple of things that are of importance, which are also part of my regular features, are first of all, the today is the 27th of September. And on the 27th of September in 1944, Douglas Monroe, who came from Clay Ellum, Washington, was the coxswain of one of the assault boats in the Guadalcanal invasion. And he was also in charge of four other boats. And he was awarded the Medal of Honor for having saved many, many Marines as part of that. It's a wonderful story. And today is the anniversary of that, and there will be a celebration out at Clay Ellum where Douglas Monroe is buried. And ever since about in the 1970s, we have had a Monroe cutter, a cutter named Monroe, in the Coast Guard fleet. So I always like to recognize that it is a great story of service over self. And the last thing that Douglas Monroe is said to have said was, did they all get off? So this is in honor quickly of Signalman First Class, United States Coast Guard, Douglas Monroe Medal of Honor. The Hurricane Ian is headed toward the Tampa area. It is my hope, my wish, and my command from the captain's chair that all of Captain Joe's people who are in that part of the world will be taking the precautions necessary so that not only will you survive, but that you will come out whole on the other end. Whatever it is that you need to do to take care of those yourself and those for whom you are responsible and accountable, I know that you will be doing those things. Sean and Barb both talked about our time in Cambridge. Mary R. and I lived in a house that was owned by the was and is owned by the university. And the address is 21 Chaucer Road. So when we were riding around in the taxi with Trevor, I said, I want you to take us to Chaucer Road. And as we drove down the road, it's a dead end, and at the other end, the far end, which is where our house was, is, there is a path that goes through the sheep meadow, where one prods very carefully, especially at night, if you are going from my house to Darwin College, which is my college, at night, because it is quite possible, because they still graze sheep in that field, is the reason why. So we drove down 21 Chaucer Road, and the grip on my heart kept getting tighter and tighter. And as we got to the end, and I realized that the little car park that where I parked my car was exactly as I remembered it, and the blue doors to the house were exactly as I remembered it, and I was able to take Sean and Barb around the back of the house to the beautiful back garden that is so lovingly maintained by the university garden department. It was one of the things that Mary R. particularly loved about living in 21 Chaucer Road was that we had access to this wonderful back garden, not a backyard, a back garden, and that's exactly what it is. And that's what it is today. It's just absolutely beautiful. And it backs up on an open field. And back in that open field, people keep chickens and roosters. So even here in this incredibly beautiful medieval town, we would be awakened every morning by the crow of the cock. And the loosening of my heart happened when we walked around the back of the house and I could see the garden and how beautiful it was and what wonderful memories were flowing back. So even though it was difficult and even though I had a couple of rough moments, it was all really, really good. And then when we went into the Scott Poehler Research Institute building, and I was able to take them up to the Wubold room, which was my gift when we left Cambridge. My gift was to have a room named for me in the institute. And I took them up to the photograph, and I put my hands on the plaque that is under the photograph of the dedication. And that was my second clutching around the heart. So one of the things that we did today was that we went to HMS Belfast, and she is at anchor out in the River Thames. She was built just before World War II, and she served with honor during both World War II, during the Korean War, and was decommissioned such that rather than being scrapped, an organization was put together that was able to save her. And so we crawled around through a lot of it. I have to confess that the ladders today are far steeper than they were in my seagoing days. The treads on the ladders are far more difficult to navigate than in my Ingham. And yet, when I look at them, and when I smell the ship and feel the ship under me, the memories for that came flooding back. And I had some, I've had some wonderful conversations with people who are museum people and who are people who help to save all of these wonderful things for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. And so it was very familiar for me to walk around HMS Belfast. And I took a minute to thank a couple of the people who were taking care of her, because I'm very familiar with what it takes to maintain and to continue to preserve for future generations, in particular warships that have a distinguished history, like Belfast does, like my Ingham does. So it was just that part of it was a really great day. And from there, we went to that was also the day. Today was the day that we went to the Tower of London. And if you have never been to London, and you are able to go, then one of the places that you must go is the Tower. It is as it is preserved as it has been for almost 1,000 years. There is nothing Disney. There is nothing artificial. There is nothing other than what it really is. You can see all of the places where it has worn over the centuries. And it is beautifully preserved, beautifully presented. And the beef eaters, the yeoman wardens who take care of it, who are all former military people, they do a wonderful job. And the ravens that protect the tower, the legend, of course, is that if the ravens ever leave and if the Barbary apes ever leave Gibraltar, then Britain is going to founder. So long may the ravens live. Maybe long may the Barbary apes live. And as I have said several times since the crossing of the bar of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, as I say and as I say tonight, God save the king. Because we have been felt to be here as such honored guests with so many wonderful people that we have met and that we have talked to. I have, as always, far too quickly come up to the end of my time together with all of you. It is for me to thank Captain O'Brien for engineering for me tonight, and I will be back up in my regular captain's chair out on the deck at Captain's Quarters and then at the Gene Bosch Studio. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on station and watching properly. So good night to you from London, happily not being attacked by the Bliss, but being a wonderful host to all of us. We have just had a glorious, glorious time here. So that's it from your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair, with a good night from London.